That's one thing at Christmas that happens, right? We love one another. We come together and we love. It's a time that we look beyond our differences. It's a time we look beyond our faults. It's a time of the season that just, you know, you hear people say it, had the Christmas spirit, right? Get in the Christmas spirit. And if you work in retail, you're in the spirit all right. But it's not the Christmas spirit. Is it, Miss Sharon? But we can have the Christmas spirit. And that is about loving one another. And I'm going to play a little video song. Have you got it ready? Okay, this is a beautiful little song. I love it. It just tells the Christmas message. So go ahead and play it, Brandon.
It's not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not just about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's about the cross. About the presents underneath the tree. It's not all about the feeling that this season brings to me. It's not just about coming home to be with those you love. It's not all about the beauty in the snow I'm dreaming of. It's about the cross. So that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away, so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross,
the beginning.
The cross. Ooh, it's about the cross.
Ooh. Beautiful song, isn't it? Beautiful message. It's about the cross. He was born once so we could be born again. It's a beautiful thing. I want to share a story. I know most of you saw on Facebook, I put a comment about an incident we had. I didn't want to broadcast it publicly to everybody in the world to see, but I will inform you kind of what happened so you'll know. And you just never know. I know Melanie don't feel this way because she's the one that discovered this person, but I just think God always has a plan, and you just never know. Melanie got to go to work very early, about 4:30, 5 o'clock the other morning, walked out of our side door to the porch, took a few steps, seen a strange man sitting in a chair slumped over on our porch. Freaked her out, of course. He looked dead. I mean, he was completely slumped all the way to his knees sitting in our chair. So she ran back in and got me, you know, woke me up, and we immediately called the sheriff's department, and we keep an eye on him. He's not moving. We're just inside watching, waiting on the sheriff's department to get there. Two sheriffs do come. They shake him. They shook him. He wasn't moving, shaking him. Finally got him awake. He got up. He was stumbling around, and he had crashed his Jeep. He was completely intoxicated. Probably other things were in his system too, but he was completely intoxicated. Had a bag of weed on him. 20-year-old young man. Had been walking, he said, for about 3 miles. Didn't know where he was. Didn't know where his Jeep was wrecked. He was just completely wasted. And so sheriff came in, took a report from me and Melanie, and they went to try to find his Jeep. Finally found where it was, brought the young man back, and the officer wanted me to tell him, in order for it to be legal, to press charges next time. And just so you know this, you may not know this, if you do not have no trespassing signs up in your yard, then an officer can't legally do anything about that. But if you tell the officer, like this guy, he said, you need to let him know you don't want him back on your property. And then if he does come back, I've got to know you said that. Next time, he'll be charged for trespass. So a young man came out. He stuck his hand out, says, man, I just want to apologize. I didn't mean to, you know, freak your wife out or you. He said, I just was in a bad place, and I'm really, really sorry. And he looked really lost. And I told him, I said, do you ever talk to God? And he said, I have a hard time believing in that stuff. And he used some other choice words. And I said, I want you to know something. God loves you. Talk to him. God loves you. Talk to him. And he asked my name then, so I gave a false one. I'm playing. He asked my name, and I gave him a first name. And told him my name was James. And but I could tell, he told me, he said, I'm lost. I'm just lost. And I said, well, talk to God. He loves you. And, you know, I tried to tell Melanie. I know it freaked her out. Nobody wants me on her porch. And I wasn't the one walking out. I'd probably, you know, scream like a girl if I'd have saw that too. No offense, girls. I'm just saying. don't all this new age people get all, you know, oh, offended me. I'm just saying, okay? It's a joke. please, no lawsuits because I said that. But I told him, I said, you know, maybe, who knows? I mean, maybe the seed that was planted, and he was with it enough to hear me. He had sobered up some. He told me, he says, man, says, I'm not about being in the back of a sheriff's car looking where I wrecked my Jeep. That ain't the life I want. And so I told him, I said, you know, God loves you. So, you know, with that said, that's my message tonight, how that we are to love one another. It's easy to love folks that love us back. I love Joe Brown, man. Because Joe's like, he loves me. He prays for me, and he talks about me, and he just, you know, exalts me. I love him, man. I love Joe Brown. Now, those of you out there talking junk about me and smack, it's hard to love some of y'all. But you know what? I got to, right? I got to love y'all, too. And so, you know, I told Mel, I told her about that guy. I said, you know, Mel, maybe it was meant for him to be there. Maybe God knew where he needed to be. Maybe that seed was planted. Maybe he'll never forget that one statement. Because I didn't preach to him. I just simply said, God loves you. I said, I said, you can be anything you want to be. I said, make some better decisions and talk to God. And so I told Melanie that. And she goes, well, said, you could have just stuck a sign in your yard, said, God loves you, talk to God. And he would never came in our yard. I said, honey, I know. You're the one that found him. It freaked you out. I get it. But, but pray for her, because her nerves is really tore up. I mean, it's a very uncomfortable feeling to walk out on your porch at 4:30 in the morning and a strange man sitting in your chair. That's just not good. But anyway, we are to love one another. And that's my part two tonight. That what is Christmas? Part of it, the part I want to talk about, is that we love one another. We talk about Christmas spirit. We talk about coming together. You know, how many times your family maybe had issues, said, look, it's Christmas time. Let's put our differences aside. This is what it's about, coming together and loving one another. And so we're going to talk about loving one another tonight. And we're going to start in the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, and we're going to be in chapter 22. Matthew 22. And every verse I'm reading tonight is Jesus is the author of these verses. It just kind of worked out that way. I didn't plan it until I started doing my scriptures and planning, and I got looking. Man, they're all Jesus. So we got a good authority tonight that we were reading these verses from. That's for sure. But this is John 22, verse 37. I'm sorry, Matthew. What did I say, John? Thank you, Matthew. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it." And here's where we have a hang up, a big one. We can love God, right? Pretty much. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, this young man is lucky he landed on my porch, because I'm not a wily, whirling, gun-toking, tobacco-spitting, redneck-shooting, if you look at me wrong, you're going down 6 feet under. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm a peacemaker. I mean, I'll fight if I have to. I would fight over two things, my family and food. So I will fight. You cut me off in front of Village Inn buffet line, you get an elbow. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I was there, man. That's the last slice, and I ordered that pizza. Get out of my way, or you're going to get hurt. But I'm a peace person, and so that young man, it would have been easy for me in my anger and violation, me and Mella being so upset, to just went off on him. You know, could have went off on him. Man, you drunk idiot! Man, you could have killed somebody. You out there drinking and driving, don't even know where your Jeep's at. You're sitting out here on my porch, scaring my wife a heart attack. You on drugs and dope, whatever else you're doing, and you on my porch. Man, why don't? Are you a loser? Get yourself together, man. Da 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 da. I could have said all that in a moment of anger, or frustration, or fear. But when he looked at me and stuck out his hand, I saw a need. That's what I saw. I saw a need that this young man is lost, and he's broken. And this probably, maybe it is, maybe it isn't his everyday routine, but he had a bad night, and he said he is lost, and da-da-da, and he needed something. And so when I saw his face, compassion rose up for him, compassion. Now, I might have felt different. He stole my big screen TV, you know what I'm saying? But the point is, he's on my porch. I can't cross that bridge till it's there. But when I saw his face and he reached out and I felt his humility, I just thought, man, I mean, he had no clue where he was. He was so messed up, so lost, so broken, walking in the middle of the night trying to find, his excuse was he was trying to find a phone. I guess he saw our house, it was, you know, lit up and Christmas, and I guess he saw it and he just plopped down. But that's what Jesus teaches us, that we love our neighbor, that we reach out to our neighbor. Now, you might say, okay, but who's my neighbor? Is my neighbor just the ones that live beside me? Is my neighbors the ones I like? You know, is it the good neighbors, Pastor? Or are you talking about all neighbors? I'm talking about all neighbors. Whether they're good, whether they're bad, whether they're black, whether they're white, whether they're Hispanic, whether they're gay, whatever they are, we are to love one another, the person. We love them. We reach out to them because that's what Jesus says. You love your neighbor. Jesus put no stipulations on who neighbor was. If you look up neighbor in the Greek, it talks about it's you know, mankind. It's your brother. It's humanity. That's who we love. Once again, easy to love someone that reciprocates it back or does something for us. We know what the real test is. Will we love someone and reach out to them if there's nothing in it for us? That really puts the hammer down. Will I love someone if I have no advantage I gain from loving them? If they give me nothing back, whether it's, you know, money or affection or, you know, whatever, will I still reach out and love them? I put on Facebook just, you may have seen it. I put something on there, said that loving one another is the strongest argument we have for our Christian faith. People say, oh, you bunch of Christians are fake because they see us fail and they see us sin. See, too many times we have tried, and I believe that we live the best we can. I believe in walking with integrity. I believe in following the Word of God. I believe that we live morally the best that we possibly can. I believe in all that. But we do all fail. Christians fail as much as sinners fail, so to speak. Churchgoers fail as much as non-churchgoers fail. Can I get amen at church? We do, church. We fail too. But what doesn't ever fail, and this is what Paul said, is love. Love never fails. Though prophecies, all this other stuff would come to an end. The one thing that wouldn't, love. Paul says, though I have prophecy, and though I have this, and though I have these gifts, if I have not love, I am what? Nothing. I'm nothing. I could be the best preacher in the world, man. I could make T.D. Jakes look like an amateur. And that's tough to do. Real tough. And we can have a cathedral with 10,000 people. We could be on national television. And I could have the president sitting on this side. And I could have Michael Jordan on this side. And I could have kings over on this side. But if I don't have love, if I don't love my brother, and if I don't express that love through forgiveness, through mercy, and through compassion, and through grace, I really have nothing. Paul says, I'm an empty vessel. I'm a sounding cymbal. I make a lot of noise but produce nothing. That's a lot of that's going on, right? You can make a lot of noise and produce nothing. You know, I grew up in charismatic churches my whole life, one main church. And I grew up and we danced for the Lord and we raised our hands and we shouted in the Holy Ghost and all that's beautiful. But if there's nothing other than the shout, if the shout's all you got, you don't have nothing. It's got to be the message of hope and love and grace inside of you that transforms you and bears fruit. Because how many of you go to work on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock and you shout the Holy Ghost? Mm-mm. If you do, you're going to get drug tested. You're going to be asked to stop. But when you go to Bubba at work, 6'5", 350, beard down to here, tats all over, got more earrings than a pin cushion, and you look at him and say, hey, man, and he's cussing and swearing and snorting and he's ill and he's ugly and he's always bitter and angry, but you go to that guy and reach out and say, man, you need somebody, I'm here. You need to talk, man, because I know because you big and burly and tattooed up and long hair and you look like somebody I wouldn't let my mom ever face on the street at night. Just because you look that way, don't mean, man, you ain't broken too inside. And that you are crying out for a Savior. That's what reaches people when we love one another. Man, it's easy to love, you know, Carol. I mean, look at her. Who wouldn't love Carol? Who wouldn't love Destiny? Sweet Destiny. But take another 15-year-old, rebellious teenager, potty mouth, hitting at her parents, stealing everywhere. A little harder to love that person. But we're commanded to love one another through the imperfections, through their faults, through their failures. I never thought I would be pastor of so many Yankees, but you know what? I love them, and they're a big part of this church. Oh. The South is lost again. Next scripture. John 13:34. This is also Jesus. A new commandment I give you. Of course, it wasn't new, but this is Jesus talking to reaffirm the type of love he's talking about. It's a different kind of love here because he's about to, you know, show it through the cross. He says, I give you this, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. How did Christ love us? Unto death. He loved us unto death. He sacrificed it all for us. And what Christ requires is that we reach out and love others. That we show them the same mercy and forgiveness and compassion. How quickly we are to shut the door on someone because they have hurt us. They have offended us. They have abused us. How hard is that? You know, I remember, Jew, when your ex-husband passed away a few years ago. And I know it wasn't a great relationship by any means. But I felt the love you had for him as a person when he passed away. The love you had for Dean. That love that for him as a human being. Maybe not as much as relationship-wise anymore, but you had love for him and cared for him as a human being. Even though there was hurt there and pain there, you loved him. And I never forget that, how when he passed away, I felt your burden. I felt your pain. We have to love through that pain. We have to love through those burdens. Because we have to recognize that at any moment, by our own works and our own deeds and our own life, that Jesus, I'm talking about he can't, but I'm talking about, you know, I'm being theoretical here. What if, let's say, he removed that grace off of us? You're no longer forgiven, Destiny, because you messed up. You stole that at Walmart. You're no longer anymore my child. And he removed that. But we do that to people. We shut doors not realizing there's a cry for help. They are crying for help. And we, the greatest breakthrough as Christians, the biggest thing that we can do is we show love. Remember what the Bible says, that when you love someone, when you forgive your enemies, when you bless your enemies, it's like heaping coals upon their head. They can't stand it. They can't get away from it. Every once in a while on Facebook, I'll reach out to someone, non-church person. I'll reach out to someone. Today I reached out to this young woman that I knew many years ago. She married a guy that I was friends with, and I seen a post she made. I'm not ever personally sending her a message ever in my life till today. And I simply reached out and says, I saw your post. I said, what's wrong? If you need me, I'm here. She responded, of course. But that's what we're to do, man. We're just to reach out, sow those seeds, and let people know that, you know what, I'm here. I'm not judging by what you're going through. I'm not going to penalize you because you messed up. I simply want to be a helper to help bring healing, to help restore, to help reconcile. If we would spend as much time trying to reconcile people back to God or reconcile relationships instead of gossiping and tearing them down, if we would be as much, good finding as we are fault finding in people, how much better would our relationships be? Easy to point out the negative stuff. I get it. It's easy to point stuff out. You know, we go to a restaurant and we pick on the stupidest things. We get so angry with things that don't even matter in life. We go to a restaurant. We go to a store. And we're standing at Walmart. We got to stand for 15 minutes. What do you expect, man? They do $100 million a year. It's Christmas time. Guess what? You're going to stand in line. So if you don't want to stand in line, just don't go. You're going to stand in line. So still standing there getting angry about it. I wish I'd get another light. Get another light. Get another light. It's ridiculous. There's two whole people in front of me. Oh, my God. Two whole people in front of you. Oh, my gosh. You had to wait 13 minutes in line, 13 minutes of your life in a Walmart line. But you'll waste 3.5 hours on a football game 2 or 3 times a day. Come on. Love one another. Tell that cashier you're doing a great job today. I know you're stressed. Hang in there. Merry Christmas. Smile. Let them see your smile. I've been in retail. I know, man. That's some scary customers. I mean, you think they're going to go Mason up on you or something. I mean, there's some mean-looking ones. Love them. Go to the next scripture, Brandon. John 13:35. By this, by loving one another, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. The best way they see our Savior, our Jesus, is through love. We love them. You know, Planet Fitness, their slogan is judgment-free zone. They got all over the walls in there. Judgment-free zone. We're a judgment-free zone. I mean, everybody that goes in Planet Fitness don't look like me. Y'all can say that either way that you want. They don't look like me. Thank you, Stacey. There are some that are very buff and look a little bit better than me by a degree or two. And there are some can barely walk coming in them doors. It's a judgment-free zone. What if we lived our lives spiritually that way? Judgment-free zone. I'm going to love you. I'm going to share the gospel with you. I'm going to listen to you. I'll pray for you. I'll pray with you. I will help you. It doesn't mean we got to get on their bandwagon to go party with them. Oh, you going to the bar tonight? I'll support you. Cheers. We don't have to do that. It's just that we don't tear them down when they fall. Here's what we do. Oh, you're in a gutter? Bless your heart. I'm so sorry. Did that hurt? That's what we do spiritually. With our words and with our looks and with our judgment. How do they see Jesus through that? They can't. Next scripture, Brandon. Luke 22:47. Luke 22:47. Let me put my girl glasses on. 22 22. That's okay. I like these. They're good. Add some color to my face. While he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before him, drew near to Jesus, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about saw what would follow, they said to him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? Shall we see you're getting ready to get arrested. Do you want us to fight for you? One of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. Means allow them to do what they're going to do. He touched his ear and he healed him. We've read that before. We've heard that. Think about this. This was a guy that was coming to arrest Jesus. He knew what he was facing. He was facing a whipping post with 39 stripes. He was facing the cross and crucifixion. He was facing a painful, humiliating death. He was the enemy. I mean, man, some of us, I mean, we really get upset over people that we don't like in the sports world or, you know, I make jokes about it, but look, if I met Tom Brady on the street, I'm going to shake his hand and say, you know what, I don't really like you. I don't know why. I guess because you're just good looking and rich and the bomb. I don't know why I don't like you. But I got to admit you're good at what you do. But I don't really like you. Here's the enemy. The enemy. His disciple fought for Jesus and cut his enemy's ear off. Instead of saying, well, that's karma, buddy. It'll come back and bite you. Jesus reached out and restored his enemy's ear. What if we do that to our enemies? We bring them healing instead of hurt. We bring them love instead of hate. We bring them mercy and forgiveness instead of bitterness and unforgiveness. It's easy to love those, as I said, that are lovable. It's easy to love the ones that we pick and that we like. But it's harder to love the ones that are more unlovable or less unlovable. It's hard to love them. But that's the true test of our faith. Do I really love? Do I really love? You know, LaJune made the comment years ago when we built this church. So I saw y'all building a church, and so me and Vance talked about it. And this was years ago. So you built it. She's known my whole life. I went to school with her kids, so she's known my whole life. So I saw y'all building this church and says, you know, me and Vance talked over there sitting there and says, you know, we wanted to visit, but in the very beginning, when you were building it, they'd never been to service, didn't know. Says, we didn't know how welcome we'd be. And I think she got the answer to that day one when she walked in. But you know why she felt that way? Because we put those walls up. We put all those walls up. Man, if the church isn't for everybody, it's not for anybody. I mean, it's got to be for everybody. I don't want everybody looking like me. That's too much competition. I think we all ought to look different. I like the bald heads, the long hair, the green hair, whatever you want. Look, that's your personal style. This is what God wants. This is what God wants. I've told a story before. I know you may get tired of hearing it, but I think it's important we reaffirm things from time to time. Joe Brown, who in all cases to me, is definitely an older man, okay? So Joe Brown is in Mooresville one day. This was back 10 years ago. He's still older than me 10 years ago, by the way. So he's still an older man. Here's an older Deacon, Ohio Joe Brown. Old school, do it by the book, blue collar, textile working kind of guy. He sees David Messick in Best Buy shopping. This young man, earring in his ears and tattoos. Young man, early 20s. I mean, how many guys at that time, you were in your 60s, how many guys in their early, mid-60s reach out to a guy 20 years old in a Best Buy? That was amazing. Just that story to me was amazing because, you know, most older folks are like, punk kid. Back in my day. Right? If I'd have worn them earrings, I'd have been called all kinds of them names that we can't say now because it offends. You know, so that's what I'd have been called. But no, he reached out to them. They got talking. They just moved the area from out of state. Joe said, you got a church? No. He said, come try our church. Him and Tori came. She sang in the worship team. They were part of our church for several years. And then moved back. They're now living in Kansas City. And we still have a relationship today. David came to North Carolina about 3 years ago and stopped at our house and saw us for about an hour. He was going to Virginia. You know what Joe did, man? He loved. He didn't look at this little young kid thing. He's a young punk, and I ain't got time for him. He invited him to church. He didn't look like Joe Brown. He wasn't in a sweater and dignified glasses with gray hair. He was a little shirt hanging out and had the young look, you know, probably cap on backwards, silver chain around his neck. Yo, yo, Joe! You know? But, man, Joe invited him because he reached. That's what love does. I guarantee you, Joe, that's still. I bet David thinks about that himself, to think about this. To you, definitely to him, you're an old guy, you know, because David's way younger than me. I'm not being offensive. I'm just being real. I mean, he's 20, Joe's 60, you know. And I bet he thinks, man, this old dude reached out to me and invited me to church. Wow. That's what love does. Jesus healed him. He healed his enemies. Let's bring healing to our enemies instead of trying to bring vengeance to our enemies. Next scripture, Brandon. Luke 23 and 32. Luke 23 and 32. This is talking about the thieves and the cross. There were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. So Jesus in the middle, and there's two criminals on both sides of the cross. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand, one on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow, what an example. Forgive them, Lord. They don't know the scope of what they're doing. They don't realize the covenant plan. They don't realize that I really am the Son of God. They don't realize what the future is going to hold. They don't realize that they're trying to destroy the truth, the way, and the life. They don't realize it, God. Don't charge it against them. What if we said that one thing instead of saying, you wait, buddy. What if we say, Father, forgive them. God, they don't know what they're doing. For unforgiveness hurts us way more than it hurts the one we're holding against. Because unforgiveness is like a disease. It's a sickness that controls us and it paralyzes us and it binds us. And we grow bitter and angry when we're the ones not forgiving. So for our own spiritual health, our own well-being, it's important that we, for ourselves, forgive others to get that off of us. It is much easier not avoiding anybody than trying to avoid certain people. You know, there's really nobody. I mean, I shouldn't say that because I said this last week. There are maybe a couple people that I really don't want to meet at Walmart on a Friday night when I'm in a hurry. I'll put it that way very nicely. But as a whole, man, I'm walking in Walmart. I don't care who I meet. What's up, man? What's up? What's up? What's up? Hey, what's up, man? What's up? Me and Ashley was out shopping the other night, a couple things, me and her. And she's like, I so hate going places with you. You talk to everybody. I'm talking to the lady at the Salvation Army bucket. We got talking. I knew her. I gave her a hug. I talked, hey, how you doing? She'd ring the bell. She walked all the way to the car and left me. I mean, she's in the car waiting. She's yelling, Dad, I'm coming. It's just so much easier to love people than to try to hold, you know, try to be bitter. When you don't have all that junk try to hide or push down or be angry. Y'all have all seen Despicable movies, right? Despicable movies? Anybody? Maybe you haven't. This is the Wednesday night crowd. You know what I'm talking about. D, thank you. Our young folks. Despicable, yes. They've made three of them. Despicable. Despicable Me. Remember the first one, he was all angry and trying to take over the world and be a leader, and then little girls come into his life. And all of a sudden, he turned to a little teddy bear. He was trying to be so mean and bad, and them little girls just melted his heart, man. He just, that's the one with the minions, right? Despicable Me. Yeah, the minions. And all the minions, you know, and then he said, we're not going to do evil stuff no more. Oh! You know, they all got upset because they weren't going to do evil stuff no more. That's what love does. Despicable Me guy was he would be called a terrorist in today's world. He'd be called that. And he went around, you know, in one movie he was trying to steal the moon. Actually steal the moon. He made his big machine to steal the moon from space. And that was a big deal. But these little girls came, and all of a sudden, the love they had for him, they pressed on his pants, and the big old eyes look at him, and he wasn't used to that, man. He's a bad dude. And all of a sudden, these little girls are melting his heart. Love broke through his darkness. That's what love does. It breaks through our darkness. Just like that song I used to sing. Remember? Love came down. Thank you. I ain't sung it so many years. Yeah. Love came down on me. It broke through my darkness. You know, love came down. That's what happened. Love did come down. Love came in the form of a manger. It came in the form of Jesus. It came in the form of God in the flesh. This love visited Bethlehem, and that one seed of love that was planted in Bethlehem has beamed out to the whole universe, and that one seed has now become worldwide, and that one love, Bethlehem cannot contain it. That manger cannot contain it. That cross cannot contain it. That tomb cannot contain it. Can somebody hear me? What, where he was could not be contained. That love could not be confined. But the third day it bust out the back of death and the grave, and forevermore is being offered to humanity. That's the love I'm talking about. And that's the love we should be sharing with others. Giving that love back. So what if they hurt you? You've hurt God, so to speak. If we're going to use that measurement, well, they hurt me, Pastor. You don't know. They just, man, they spoiled my name. They persecuted me. They got me fired. They did this. They did that. Let's see what we did. If God wanted, what do we do? What could God say we did to disqualify us? Because I'd have been out of the game a long time ago. Many years ago. If the trumpet had sounded on many of my days and God was holding that measurement against me, I'd be lost. I'm thankful the song Marjorie sung that he is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. Father, forgive them. They know what they do. And they parted his raiment and they cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Think about that statement a minute. He saved others. Let him save himself if he is Christ. He actually was not saving himself to save others. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. He was too busy saving us, church. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, one of the criminals, they were both criminals, murderers. They deserved to be there as far as the crime they committed. They were tried and charged, and now they're being executed. One of them that was hanging beside him railed on him, which means the word rail means to blaspheme or speak evil. So one of them was blaspheming, was speaking evil, saying, if thou be Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, the same judgment? We indeed justly receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today. The love that Jesus had for a man he probably didn't know, for a bad criminal, a bad person, one that had lived a life of ungodliness and unholiness. But when he said, Jesus, will you remember me? That love came forth and said, yes, I will remember you. This, to me, takes away all of this junk the religious try to teach us about, I don't know, we got to walk so many days so right. I don't know, to stay. So, I don't know what the rules are that the churches have made. But some people are so quick to discount, well, they weren't baptized, or well, you know, they didn't do this. Or let's see, is there any mention of a sinner's prayer in that verse? No altar calls, no laying on of hands in the preacher, nobody saying, repeat after me, no Hail Marys. Yes, told you he's a Yankee. No Hail Marys. All the man said, Lord, will you remember me? And he believed. Yes, that's the key. He believed. We either, for Christians, here's our faith. We have to stand either on grace alone, or grace really doesn't matter at all. We cannot mix it. We cannot add to it. We cannot build any other foundation. The Bible says, if any man, you know, come preaching any other name, any other message, let him be accursed. The Bible talks about how this is the foundation. There's no other, the Bible actually says there's no other foundation that can be laid than that which has already been laid. What is that foundation? Jesus Christ, born, died, risen forevermore. That's the foundation. How dare us try to stack anything else on top of that to discredit what he had done? That's the beauty of Jesus, and that's the power of his love. And when the world sees that, because like that young man on my porch, I guarantee you he's been talked to by many in a very negative way, because naturally we do that, especially if it's your youngin', you go talk to him that way. It's your youngin'. But he's probably been talked to, he's probably been looked down on, he's probably been, you know, fussed at for his decisions, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But has anybody told him, he said, I don't have a hard time believing in that. The reason he probably has a hard time believing in that is because he doesn't understand the true gospel, the true message. It's not what man says you've got to do or how to live or what to be. It's what Christ has already done for you. It's the price that he has paid. The tomb is empty of him, not me, not you, not a preacher, not a denomination. The tomb is empty of the Savior, of the Messiah. He's the only one that could go behind that veil. He's the only one that could do that job. He's the only one that could fulfill that mission. He was the only one that could walk out that destiny. He was the only one that could break the back of death for us. The only one. And he's the only way. The Bible says that. But we have built so much and added all these Lego blocks to what God has already prepared. And we add this and we tell people this and we tell them this. Now I understand there's just things in life that we don't need to do because they're stupid decisions. They tear our lives down. But I'm talking about things unto salvation. I'm talking about being a child of God. Us children of God do a lot of stupid things. And we make a lot of bad mistakes and a lot of poor choices. We think wrong things. We say wrong things. We act wrong things. I heard one guy say, don't let anything get you so upset or so out of character that is it worth losing your testimony over? That's pretty powerful. How many times have we lost our testimony? I have many times. Look, I used to be a firecracker. You know, as a pastor, God dialed me down because I'm a meek shepherd now. Debbie. That commercial still cracks me up. Debbie. Anyway, I was a firecracker though back in my Walmart days, man. I mean, I had no problem telling somebody what to do. If they didn't do it, I had a problem with that even more. And I just be on the walkie-talkie. My lady would call me at work, and she'd hear my walkie-talkie. She would say, man, you talk to them that way? I mean, I was very aggressive because I was a manager. I loved my job. I took it serious, man. I mean, I bought it. I drank the Kool-Aid all the way down to my toenails. I mean, I was the Kool-Aid pitcher, you know, buzzing through the wall. That was me. Man, I'm telling my age. Destiny don't know what that commercial is, probably. But the Kool-Aid, yeah, she don't even know. The Kool-Aid pitcher used to come at the, you know, bust through the wall. Had a little jingle. But then I became a pastor, and of course, my spirit, not my spirit changed, but my destiny changed. I was always a good manager, though, right, Sharon? I was always good and fair and funny and lovable. Yeah. But so I can't tell y'all what to do because y'all are volunteers. So I've got to dial it down. Jew and Chuck, would y'all mind singing this? You know, if it had been Walmart, well, we want it. No, you singing what I told you. Okay? You singing this, and you're doing it right with a smile, and you're praising Jesus, whether you feel like it or not. But see, I can't do that now. She was like, oh, thank God. Do what? But you know what? As a pastor, God has really opened my eyes to see people with a lot less judgmental glasses than I used to. Because I'll be honest, man, I grew up in a very picket fence world. Melly talked about it all the time. She called me Leave It to Beaver. I grew up, and I did. I mean, I didn't have the haircut, but I did. And I grew up in a very, my mom and dad married their whole lives. I was the only child. We lived in a very stable home. Both parents worked. There was no alcohol in the home. Parents didn't smoke, didn't cuss. I mean, I was raised in a very stable, secure, loving home. And I wasn't really, it wasn't that I was, not, maybe, I guess I was naive because I just never was in the world that some of my friends got into. And so I grew up as a young man, and I saw, okay, well, they're doing drugs, and they're drinking, and they're, you know, and I'll start putting all these judgment things on people and start really looking at them in a whole different way and looking at them, you know, negatively. And Melanie helped me with that because Melanie grew up totally opposite of me. She grew up on this side of the tracks, and I grew up on this side of the tracks. And so when I married Melanie, her compassion and her love, because of the things she'd been through in her life that I hadn't been through, it balanced us and began to help me to see people in a different light, in a different way. You know, there's nobody that wants to be a drug addict or wants to be an alcoholic. There's nobody that wants to have anything in their life control them to the point they can't function. Nobody desires. They don't want that. And before, I was like everybody else. Oh, just change, just quit, just do this, just do this, just do this. But as God's been showing me, I mean, we all got things. I mean, can you imagine if I told Gail, the Lord said, Gail, no more Village Inn on Wednesday. Man, he'd be on a bridge about to jump. I ain't got no life no more, man. I'm gone. I mean, we all got our issues, whether it's food, whether it's cigarettes, whether it's coffee. Oh, my God, some of you coffee people. A pot a day? 2 pots a day of coffee? Whew. I surprise you. I mean, gosh. I bet you turn on a lamp, you get electrocuted. You're so wired up. So we all got our thing, man. If all of a sudden I said, okay, y'all, no more sports. Can't watch any more sports on TV the rest of your life. Just quit it. Just quit watching the Steelers, Brenda. That's right. So you say, quit smoking, quit drinking, quit watching the Steelers. Quit going to buffets. Quit getting Krispy Kreme. Quit drinking coffee. Whatever your thing is. We all got a thing. Don't wear no more makeup. Give all your makeup up, Carol. No more makeup. You never wear makeup again in your life. Oh, yeah, look at her. Oh, my God. Take me now, Jesus. I mean, we all have something. And so as I begin to pastor and start ministry, I begin to realize it's love that draws people. It's love. It is love. Bob Shepherd talked about the love he felt at our church is what drew him in. He used to bring Pat and I didn't come in for a while. He would sit out in the truck. And then he started coming in. And man, once he came in, boy, God took over. But it was that love that drew him, because you know what happened? Melanie would go out every service after church, fire department. She'd go straight out to his truck to talk to him while he sat there smoking that cigarette in his truck. Melanie would walk right out there to him, talk to him, love on him, give him a hug. And before you knew it, that love brought him inside the door because he realized. And see, we didn't know the story about Bob Shepherd till he passed away, the real story, that he was raised in several different orphanages, never had a mom and dad in his life. He was bounced from home to home. He got thrown down some basement stairs by one of the people in the orphanage house one time. Thrown down the stairs as a little boy. He went through abuse and neglect. No wonder he was so hard. No wonder he was so rebellious. And all we want to do is look at that person and say, oh, I don't know why they acting like a chump. Why don't they just, you know, why do y'all got to be all big and bad and angry? There's a reason people are angry. There's a reason they're bitter. There's a reason they're hurt. There's a reason they're broken. Our job is not to keep breaking them. Remember Stretch Armstrong? I used to have one of those as a kid. You remember Stretch Armstrong? Jane, you remember that? Stretch Armstrong doll. I love my Stretch Armstrong. Well, my Aunt Eunice broke my Stretch Armstrong. How do you break a Stretch Armstrong? She pulled his arm so far apart it cracked and a green gel came out. My Aunt Eunice, bless her heart, God rest her in peace, broke my Stretch Armstrong. And that's what we do to people. We do this. Come on, I'm about to break you. Woo, yeah, I'm about to break you. A little bit, let me slap a little more oil on you. You're about to get break. I'm about to break you. They just need to be love, man. Just love. Now, I'm not talking about this peace kind of hippie kind of love. I'm talking about real love. Okay, I mean, I'm talking about, look, the love of God into their life. Not, you know, I don't care what I do and where I go. It's just I ain't got no responsibilities kind of love. I'm talking about a real love. That's what we're supposed to exercise. And Jesus taught us that. Be of me in paradise. Skip on. I want to skip three verses here. It says, it's about the 6th hour. There was darkness over the earth to the 9th hour. The sun was darkened. The veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Having said this, he gave up the ghost. He died. The reason I wanted that verse included is we read a few verses before. One of the last things Jesus did before he died was what? Father, forgive them. Facing death, he was still loving. Facing his own crucifixion, his own enemies, the people that were. I mean, think about this, man. We're at Walmart. Somebody gives us a dirty look. We're ready to go off. I was working at Dr. Kearney's the other day. I work there a little bit every now and then. I do security out there. I know what you're thinking, but it's okay. Thank you, D. Anyway, I can hold my own when I have to. But I was out in the lobby, and this little patient's out there, this guy, young guy, he's out there, and he's just F-bombing in the waiting room, and we don't allow that out there. We don't allow that kind of language to be talked about. So I'm standing beside him. I said, he didn't know I worked there at the time. He thought another patient. And I just said, man, don't be talking like that. You don't be using that language in here. He immediately, what you going to do about it? You made me stop? You going to stop me? I pulled my bag and said, dude, I work here. Oh, man. Oh, man. I'm sorry. I said, no, that ain't the point. If I had not have worked here, you don't need to be talking like that, man. And just throwing all that out here. This is a place of recovery and help, and it's a Christian environment. And I'm just letting you know that we don't need to be F-bombing. You got kids sitting out here in the waiting room. You got all kinds of people out here in the waiting room. And but just because I corrected him using bad language, man, he's ready to fight me. This is what we're dealing with. Here is Jesus, who had been spit upon, beat 39 times with a leather strip with pieces of bone inside of it, ripping his flesh out of his body. Beard plucked, thorns crowned in his head, nails in his feet and his hands. I mean, humiliated and mocked, ridiculed. But yet he had enough love to say, Father, forgive them. Man, what if we could pattern that just a little bit. Just a little bit of that pattern. Lord, from this night on, let me have that kind of love. Let me look beyond the angry looks, beyond the ugly words, and simply love them. Somebody went by me the other day, and I don't know why. They were flying. I don't think I did anything wrong. I mean, I don't know, but they went by, and they gave me the little dirty sign with their hand. You know what I did? Smile, wave. I just smile, wave. You know what I felt like doing? Y'all don't do it. But you don't think nature don't? You do that to, man, you going to do that to me? For what? Really? Because I'm only going 80 and a 60? Excuse me? That you want to go 95? Okay, going around me. But I just wave and smile. You know what? He's the one angry. I'm not angry. I'm just driving by my little bit. I'm going to, you know, wave and smile. Bless his heart. I mean, he's apparently got problems. If that sets him off. Next scripture. I'm going to get you out of here. I know it's 8 o'clock. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the cock crow, you shall deny me 3 times. Remember, God, Jesus told him that. So Peter, because Peter said, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere you go. He said, no, Peter, you can't go where I'm going, number one, but you'll deny me 3 times. Oh, no, master, I won't. Well, he did. I'm shortening all this just for time's sake. Peter went out and he wept bitterly because he had denied him 3 times. But look what happens. John 21:15. When they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said to him, yea, Lord. Thou knowest I love you. He saith, feed my lambs. He said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, love me thou? He said to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love you. He said to him, feed my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? He said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Notice that Peter denied him 3 times, and now he reaffirmed 3 times. And the revelation of this that I want to, is there another verse to John? Or is that it, Brandon? Okay. So what I want, what the revelation out of this is that through Peter denying him 3 times after walking with him and seeing the miracles, Jesus loved him still. And actually was using him. Feed my sheep. I'm going to use you, Peter. Lord, I denied you 3 times. I'm going to use you. Lord, I'm so ashamed, but I'm going to use you. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. God, Jesus knew Peter loved him. And here he is through all of, I mean, Jesus could have been like, you know what, man? Forget you. You denied me three times, and you didn't have my back. You wasn't there for me. You left me hanging. But no, he said, feed my sheep. And we know Peter would have a very impactful, important ministry for the cause of Christ. And he actually would die for the cause of Christ. Peter was the first one out of the upper room. When the Holy Ghost filled that upper room and he came out and they thought he was drunk, he was the one giving that first Sunday morning message. He was the one that when the word was spoken, 5,000 people were added to the church because of Peter. The very one that denied him three times, God used in a magnificent way to usher in the new covenant church. That's love, man. Next scripture. Oh, that's the last one, period? Okay, good. All right. That's right. That's what I was thinking about. So what is Christmas part two? Love one another. It's the time of year that we do that. It's the time of year that we put away our differences the most time. This is the time of year that we go and we can actually eat ham and macaroni with Cousin Eddie, who we can't stand, but during Christmas time we make it work, right? We go sit beside him. Hey, Cousin Eddie. We put on our, how you doing, brother? Yeah, good to see you. How's your job doing? Yeah, good. You know, because it's Christmas time, you know. We tell our kids, hey, look, I know you don't like your little cousin, you know, whatever, but look, it's Christmas time. Let's come together. Y'all don't fight. Y'all don't argue. Don't steal no toys. You know, don't be swinging the cat by the tail and throw it in the air. I used to do that as a kid, I'm ashamed to say. At my grandma Minton's house when I was a kid, I used to take her cats, get them by the tail, and swing them up in. I was a little boy. What do you expect, man? I'm a little boy. The reason I did that is because they always lay on their feet. I thought it was so cool. Because a little boy, I'd go, whoo, they go, brruch, brruch. No matter how you threw a brruch, they land. I said, how do they? I mean, I can't land on my feet walking. How do they land on their feet flying through the air? It amazed me. But anyway, love one another. That's something that we can take that Jesus gave us a pattern for as we go forth this season through all the hustle and bustle and all the long lines and all the craziness. Love one another. It is that love that people see Christ the very most. Not through all of our preaching, not through all of the religious stuff that we do. It's through loving each other. And when that love is received, you've got their attention. How could you love me? Do you know who I am or what I've done? Yes. But I love you because Christ loved me. And I'm no better than you. Now, if you want to measure it that way. Yes, I might be Leave It to Beaver. All right. And Gordon may be that guy on a... He might be Dennis the Menace. That's a good Polk Robinson, right? So Gordon, Dennis the Menace, and I'm Leave It to Beaver. But you know what? God loves us both the same. And I am no better as Leave It to Beaver than he was as Dennis the Menace. I'm no better. I still have to come the same way and be saved by the same grace. And I'm thankful for that. So love one another. It's kumbaya time, church. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. I don't know what that means. What's kumbaya mean? Does anybody know? Huh? Come by here. Oh, come by here. Okay, that's a good song then. Come by here. Hallelujah. All right. This Sunday will be, of course, our Christmas dinner and play Sunday night. We'll do the dinner first. We'll meet in the fellowship hall and eat at 6 o'clock. And then following that, we'll come in for the play. So make plans to be here. We're giving out a treat bag Sunday morning. It's Sunday morning is our treat bag Sunday. So we'll be meeting over here Friday to bag those up. So everybody gets one that's here, adults and children, get a treat bag. So make sure you're here. It's just a gift from the church to wish you Merry Christmas and let you know we appreciate you and love you. There is one thing. They are calling on rain Sunday. Okay? So just be prepared. And don't let that deter you. It's just water. And it will evaporate and go away. You will not melt. The church will not flood. And the word will be preached. So I already said the weather. I'm like, the only day they call on rain, like the next 7 days is Sunday. 70%. So please don't let it deter you. It's just rain. If you got to leave an hour early. If you're one of these scaredy cats, can't leave an hour early. I'm here at 8 o'clock in the morning. You be here as early as 8, I'm fine. I'm here at 8 o'clock, usually every Sunday morning by 8 o'clock. So, but we want you here. It's our big Sunday for a treat bag, the play, the dinner. The following Sunday will be Christmas Eve. We will have regular service at regular time, 10 o'clock, Christmas Eve morning, regular time. So just if you're wondering about that, and I don't know how that turnout will be, but, it won't really affect any evening plans. So hopefully y'all can be here. You'll be out by 11:30 or so, have the rest of your Christmas Eve to celebrate. So be a very special service too. We've got to plan that a little differently. And then the following Sunday will be the last day of 2017. December 31st is a Sunday. And so we're going to bring in the new year that morning together with a proclamation. And we're excited about that. So we've got some exciting couple of weeks, 2 weeks coming up. So appreciate y'all being here tonight. And invite your friends to come out Sunday morning or Sunday night and let them know about the play and about the food. We've actually had some folks that have come just for occasion like that and get anchored in the church. So it's a good way to introduce them to our ministry. So bring them if you can. All right, anything in closing? Any announcements or anything to be said? If you got folks in the fellowship hall, don't forget they are out there. So please make sure you get them. Got quite a few out there, actually. So, all right, let's stand up. If you have an offering tonight, I didn't announce this last Wednesday. I forgot it. I know I did. But if you have an offering, the offering plates are over here. You can just come put that in the offering plate after we say a prayer. Father, we give you honor and praise for this message tonight that we are supposed to love one another. And, Lord, that love sets us free, and that love sets them free. It's a win-win situation, God. There is nothing negative. There is nothing that ever goes wrong by loving someone, loving one another. You will honor that, God, and you will bless that seed. Give us that spirit this season to love. Give us that spirit to not be judging, to look beyond the faults and the failures and see the need in that person's life and plant that seed and let you, God, give the increase. We give you praise and glory and honor for being our Lord and Savior. For the offering that's given tonight, God, we ask you bless that seed. You see the vision here and the needs that are in this ministry, and we pray that you meet those needs according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.